we'll talk about. The last three classes we've gone through the first nine chapters, and that has lent itself pretty well to going through verse by verse. There's a lot of continuous thoughts that flow through there. But beginning in chapter 10, you're really going to get into the true Proverbs, just short little statements that kind of stand alone, independent by themselves. The first one that we're going to talk about tonight, I think it will be a good class to transition us from what we've done and into what we're going to be doing. We're going to talk about the blessings of wisdom, reproof, and instruction. And we've talked quite a bit about wisdom in the last three or four classes, again, with a nice continuous flowing thought. So tonight we're going to go through, beginning in chapter 10, and just pick out little individual proverbs that tell us about wisdom and instruction and reproof and some of the benefits that we can gain from that. And it will be an interesting comparison, an interesting change. There's not a real set outline or not a as easily developed outline to do that. Because, again, most of them are just one little verse or a half of a verse. Some of them may run for two or three verses. But by and large, we're just looking at short little independent thoughts. And I like to look at it like this. As you go through and you pull out these proverbs on the same subject throughout the book, it's like you're taking a little piece of a puzzle and you put it in. And each proverb may be coming at it from somewhat of a different angle than the one previously and the one that's going to come next. And by the time you get done, you have a pretty good picture. And in this case, we'll have a pretty good picture of the blessings of wisdom, reproof, and correction or instruction by looking at it from a few different angles and some different benefits of it. So we hope to have a complete picture then when we get done. And like I said, I think this will be a good transition lesson because once we establish wisdom and the benefits of wisdom, all the other topics, to some degree, are going to be subtopics of that. How to be wise and how we behave with our fellow man, our relationship with God, how we live our lives every day. So wisdom is going to be the basis for that. And like I said, everything else will kind of fall into subtopics on that. Now, we talked a little bit about what a proverb was when Rick did his introduction. The thing that I find interesting as I look up the word proverb, the root word there is either a ruling saying or to rule. So what can that tell us about proverbs? If the word proverb has in it to rule or a ruling saying, what's a ruling saying? It means it's not what? It's not the exception, it's the rule. I mean, these are general statements that by and large will hold true. Not in every case, but it's the rule, not the exception. And remember, we're talking about spiritual wisdom, and we've discussed that quite a bit. Spiritual wisdom, but where are we going to be applying the spiritual wisdom? Where do a lot of these proverbs in the book of Proverbs apply their spiritual wisdom? On earth, that's right. They apply in our physical, temporal lives here. That's where they provide benefit to us, is that. And as I said, it's going to be the rule and not the exception. If you look over in Job 21, I mean, all of us can stop and think of, I know somebody who lives their life just as awful as can be and doesn't give any regard to God and is dishonest and is foul and is immoral in every way, and they're plenty successful. And Job made that same argument in Job chapter 21, verse 7. He goes through and he says, why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. And he goes on down through there. He says in verse 9, their houses are safe from fear. The rod of God is not on them. Their bulls breed without failure. Their cows calve without miscarriage. And it goes on and on. And they go all the way to the grave in verse 13. In a moment go down to the grave. Yet they say to God, depart from us. We do not desire to know your ways. And also over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 15. The writer there, the preacher there, makes the point. He says, I've seen everything in my days of vanity. There is the just man who perishes in his righteousness. There's a wicked man who is prolonged in life in his wickedness. So we can all think of exceptions. And I guess most notably the exception that I would think about is if you think about the newsmakers that we know of today, the different celebrities that we're aware of, and we think, well, you know, now they, so many of them live immorally. They're on their third or fourth wife, and so forth, and yet they're rich, they're famous, they have it all. Well, we need to remember that they're the exception. You know, they may be a couple hundred thousand out of a population of what, 300 million now. They're the exception, but they're in the limelight. And so often, if you look at some of these examples so closely that we see as exceptions, we'll see that the way they live their lives almost follow the rule, actually. Their lives lead to ruin. They may have money, but that's about it, and often they end up without that. So knowing that what we're going to be looking at are just these little statements, these little general statements that will be the rule and not the exception, what's the most obvious thing that we can do with these Proverbs? It's to make application to us today. We need to make application. They lend themselves very well to it. You can look at a proverb and you can look at that one proverb on a particular subject, and then you can walk off down the street and you can just turn that over in your mind and you can think about it and you can meditate about it. And you think about, what is he trying to say to me? You can meditate on it and find out what application. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, James writes there that we're to be doers and not hearers. And that's how we need to be with these Proverbs. In James chapter 1, in verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only." And he goes on to say that if you do that, it's like a man that goes to a mirror and he looks and he sees what he needs to change. He sees the application that he needs to make. And then he turns around, he walks away, and he forgets all about it. And he doesn't do anything. And that's how we need to be. Take a proverb that, not a biblical proverb, but just one we know. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Sometimes we have to look beyond what the application is stated so plainly as. This proverb isn't just about people that are trapping birds. What's the other application of that? What can we take from a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? Not everybody all at once. What's the application of that? That's right. Yeah, you know, don't give up the value that you have for the promise of something that may or may not be. You know, latch on to something secure. So a lot of the Proverbs that we'll look at tonight, it's the same thing where, you know, he talks about taking a city or something like that. We need to look beyond just, you know, the actual physical taking of a city. We need to look and see, well, what does that mean to me? What's the underlying attitude that I need to have for that? So just a little bit of introduction as far as a topical study and how that should work for us. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, let's look at Proverbs, and I will very, very lightly retread some of what Rick has talked about the last little bit, because we have quite a few Proverbs to look at today. In Proverbs chapter 4 and beginning in verse 5, what does he say there? What's the exclamation point there right at the verse? What does he want the young man to do? Get wisdom. Get understanding. And then he goes on in verse 7 and he says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding." He says, you've got to be about the business of getting wisdom. And the first thing we need to recognize when we get this wisdom is where the wisdom comes from. And again, we've already looked at all these passages, so we're just going to touch on them briefly. But the wisdom comes from God. What's the beginning of knowledge? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's right. In chapter 2, again, he says, you know, you need to be looking for wisdom. You need to be yearning for wisdom. And in verse 5, he says, you understand the fear of the Lord. And verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And also in chapter 3, in verse 5 and 6, again, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So we have to know what the source of the wisdom that we're looking for is. And a point about gaining wisdom. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, James writes, if you ask for wisdom, God is going to give you wisdom. Now let's state right offhand what that does not mean. That does not mean we're going to be like Solomon. God's going to come to us one night and say, what do you need? And we say wisdom, and the next morning we wake up and we've got all the wisdom we can ever hope to have. Now in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So it will be, wisdom will be given to a man that wants to have wisdom. How can that be? We've asked that question before. How does one get wisdom? What is wisdom doing? We talked about that, I know, a couple classes ago. What is wisdom doing? Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom is it's crying out. It says, here I am. I'm looking for you. Come find me. Come partake of me. And another thing that we have to do, if you think about Jesus's parables, what statement did he add at the lot of the end of his parables? Luke 8, chapter 8 is a reference if you want to look over there. But at the end of a lot of his parables, or before he started a parable, he would often let out a cry saying what? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's it. You know, in other words, you know, perk up, listen to what I'm saying. And make application. So the idea of these proverbs in general is, you know, let's get wisdom, and let's get it from the right source, and let's make an effort. Let's make an effort to understand what the wisdom is going to be. Again, just a real light retread of some of the things Rick talked about. We won't look at these passages, but some of the blessings of wisdom, instruction, and reproof that are listed in those first nine chapters. Chapter 3 and verse 17, that of pleasantness and peace can be found if you follow wisdom. Safety and prosperity, that's in the first chapter and also in the third chapter. Guidance and illumination, and I think, I don't see Trevor here just yet, but I think he pointed out, Psalms 119, 105, that the word will be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, it provides illumination to you. Wisdom will give you the proper associations with God and with man both. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. That's what wisdom helped him do. And also in Proverbs, you can read how you can have favor with the Lord in chapter 3 and verse 4 and chapter 8, verse 35. And interesting enough, the flip side of that in Proverbs 2, beginning in chapter 10, we talked about that. One of the points of wisdom is to deliver from the evil man, and to deliver from the seducing woman. So not only does wisdom put us in a proper relationship with God, wisdom also keeps us in a proper relationship, as in away from those people that we don't need to associate it with. It gives us the knowledge that we shouldn't be around there. Well, let's look at some Proverbs tonight, and I've grouped them fairly loosely. You could take these proverbs and probably arrange them in different groups that might work better for you, but I kept them fairly general. The first proverbs are going to be those that tell about the benefit of wisdom, and then here in a little bit we'll look at instruction and reproof. And within wisdom, we find that one benefit of wisdom is that it gives us success. And I know that's a general term, but it gives us success in our relationships. It gives us success in the things that we have on this earth, just in general, it gives us success. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8 says, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. And Proverbs 14:35 says, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. And again, in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21, he says, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. So we see in these proverbs right here the success that we can have with our reputation, with respect and honor that we can learn by being a wise man, and the trust that we can gain. And as I mentioned in the introduction, the thing that we need to look for is, and specifically, you know, specific to us, we need to look at what application can I make from this proverb to me directly. And some of them may apply not so close to you. That may not be something that's an issue with you. But other of them, there's a couple in here that I looked and like they were poking me right in the eyes when I thought about them. I thought, yeah, that's something I really need to listen to, and I immediately see an application for me. But these first few proverbs here, he who is wise is going to get respect and wisdom, or who is wise is going to have the respect and be commended by men, even those men in higher places. He says the king's favor towards a wise servant, and he says that understanding is a wellspring of life. And I think the idea behind a wellspring of life is water that just keeps coming up. It's not a If you receive some sort of a windfall, a big pile of money, you've got that pile of money there and you can go spend it, and then that benefit's gone, isn't it? But knowledge and understanding is a wellspring of life. It keeps bubbling up. If you're looking after knowledge, if you're looking for wisdom, you're going to get more and more benefit from it. That benefit's never going to leave you. It's going to help you all the way through your life. But it says, in contrast, the correction of fools is folly. The fool doesn't want to be corrected. He wants to be irrational. And when you try and correct him, it does no good at all. And just a note, that's how a lot of these proverbs are going to be put together. You know, short statements that sometimes are just one thought, but other times it's a this, and then they add a but. And they'll talk about the wise, and then they'll talk about the fool. And so we learn a lot about the fool just in discussing these ones that talk about the wise as well. Proverbs 14:24 says, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." So the wise man, you can see that he's been successful. The general rule, you can see that he's been successful either with the accumulation of material things or of friends or of a good, strong family. When we talk about riches, we're not always talking about just pure material things. There's a lot of things that can make us rich. So those material things or our family or the reputation that we have, those things are the crown of the wise. A man can look at a wise man and see those things and say, well, that's a wise man, and recognize him and give him honor for that. The fool, people see his foolish actions, his irrational actions, his childish actions, and they look at him and they can look at those actions and say, well, that man's just silly. That man's a fool. So we can have success in how we look, how men look at us, and how we thrive in life. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning verse 22, it says, "A wise man scales the city of the mighty, and brings down the trusted stronghold." It worked out. There was a similar application for us. For those of you that have kids in the Bible class, what they're studying this time around, David has just finished off the rebellion of Absalom, and he's returning to the city, and there's a fight over who's going to lead David back to the city, Judah or the Israelites, and the men of Judah talk meaner than the men of Israel. And next thing you know, Sheba from Benjamin stands up and he says, "Israel, you're coming with me. We don't need David." And the rebellion is on. Well, Sheba is finally tracked down to the city of Abel, and Joab and David's men lay siege to that city. And that city isn't going to be any match for Joab and his men. They lay the siege mound and they get the battering ram ready and they're ready to tear down the wall. Their strength will prevail. But then who sticks her head over the top of the wall? A wise woman sticks her head over the top of the wall. And she says, "Let me speak to Joab." And Joab comes up and she says, "We're a city that settles disputes, a peaceful city. Don't tear us down." And she opens a dialogue with him. And Joab explains what he needs. He says, "Sheba's in there and he's rebelling against David." And she said, "You wait just a minute." And then the wise woman goes in and she holds counsel with the people of the city. And then Sheba's head comes over the wall and the city is saved. So the wise man scales the city of the mighty. This was is almost a little bit in reverse. The mighty is there against the city, ready to destroy it. But the wisdom of this woman prevails. And be the same for us. If we use wisdom, we can avoid a lot of situations where otherwise we would be overmatched or overpowered. It says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." Again, the idea is if you're wise and if you're diligent in what you're going to do, you will have success. If you're not, then you'll be to ruin. The wise, in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." And also chapter 24 and verse 3, a similar thought. "Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth at the gate." This isn't talking exclusively about building houses. I think we can understand that. Building houses is almost as though we're building a life. We're building possessions for ourselves. We're building a reputation for ourselves. We're building more wisdom for ourselves. Friends, we have to consider, when we consider our assets, we don't just consider the financial ones. We have to think about those intangible ones. The friendships that we make, the respect that we gain. So when we get to a point in life where maybe we need that friend or we need some help, we have a reputation to rely on, not just the things of material things. Are there any questions on just in general success or any other applications? That's the reason that I handed out the paper for the next time. You know, you look at those and you see, how does that apply to me? And this needs to be a class about application when we talk about these things. Another group of Proverbs under the benefit of wisdom, an important one, it gives us vision or perspective that the fool doesn't have. We're able to look at things in a different light, maybe see the bigger picture where the fool, as he's described, is looking for the smaller picture. He's only looking out for the temporal things. This is one of those Proverbs that I said hit me right in the eyeballs. Proverbs 17, verse 24. "Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth." The man that has understanding, he can look out there and he can see the benefit of wisdom. He can see what wisdom's going to do for him his whole physical life and where it will let him end up after the physical life is over. The fool, he's always out there looking on the horizon, looking for the next possession he can have or looking for the next adventure that he can take. His mind is always right there on the earth, to the ends of the earth, trying to see what he can accomplish here. A real warning for us as far as putting roots down on this earth, adventures that we think we can take, places we think we can go, and material possessions that we can possess. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of the fools is deceit." Deceit of others, deceit of himself, just not looking where he's going. But the wise man, he looks out there and he sees down the road and where his course of actions will lead him to. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2, "Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he who sins hastens with his feet." The idea I get from that is he's hastening with his feet. He's only seeing that small picture. He's just running from one place to another to accomplish what he can here, to accomplish the next, fulfill the next physical desire that he can fill. He's only seen the small picture. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Those foolish virgins weren't weren't thinking about the future. They weren't preparing for the way in front of them. They were just thinking about the immediate circumstance that they were in, and they paid for that. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry, but the multitude of counselors, they are established. And Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18, very similar. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Particularly with a group of people together, you can wage a wise war, and you can look ahead and see what the needs are for the long term, and not be caught just right in the moment. So I think these Proverbs are really about seeing the big picture, seeing the end of the road, so to speak, spiritually, and not being caught up in the things of this world. The next few Proverbs, still under this idea of vision and perspective, are pretty interesting, I think. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, it says that the simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. And again, in similar thoughts in the next two, Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. And similarly, actually the exact same phrase in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3 about the prudent man is going to hide himself, but the wise man, but the simple are just going to go right on and be punished. And you think about that today, applying that to us today, about being wise enough to avoid traps, to avoid trouble. Think about us as Christians, and think about the warning that Paul gave to those Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, you watch out. You look down the road. Don't be caught off guard. You look down the road and you see where trouble can be. And Paul also in Galatians, there where he writes to the Galatians that they were foolish to so quickly go to yet another gospel, which really wasn't a gospel. I think there's a real message there, a real application for us as Christians. In those Proverbs there, to beware of traps, to beware of pitfalls that they're going to catch us because we're busy looking around what's right in front of us, and we're simple, so to speak, and we don't see the trouble laying up ahead, and we walk right into it instead of being active and ready and looking for trouble. And finally, a man, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. That's pretty straightforward application, I think. Very similar to what has just been said. He's going to fall into the trap. He's going to rest with the assembly of the dead. His end, if he doesn't follow the ways of wisdom, his end is going to be the assembly of the dead. Finally, under this idea of wisdom, one benefit of wisdom that we need to see and understand is that when we gain wisdom, it makes us that much easier for us to gain more wisdom. It makes becoming more wise and having more understanding that much easier. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6 says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. And in verse 15, in chapter 15, verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on foolishness. And Proverbs 19, verse 8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. The more that you learn, the more that you're able to comprehend, it makes it that much easier. Jesus talked about that when he did his parables. When he began speaking in parables, Matthew chapter 13, let's look over there real quick. Matthew chapter 13 and beginning in verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. His disciples asked him, why are you speaking in parables? And he says, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, the more him will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even that what he has will be taken away from him. A similar statement after the parable of the talents. to him who has, more will be given. The more that we bring knowledge to ourselves, the more we're able to accumulate more knowledge to make us wiser, to make us more profitable. So we need to remember that. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And these next few proverbs are really the idea that we need to recognize what value wisdom has for us, what value understanding has for us. "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. "There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it." That is, a foolish man, he can, there's benefit there, but the foolish man, he doesn't care. He has no use at all for it. Proverbs 16:16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, "There's gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are precious, a precious jewel." We need to consider how important it is for us to be wise. Make an application again to us as Christians. Why is it so important for us to be wise as Christians? Mr. Bedingfield?
So therefore, when we read Proverbs, we get a lot more out of it than you would if you pick somebody up out of the field and put them in here in your class that hadn't been exposed to it. Because we say that they are not God's people, they are not. So somewhere along the road, we have to have the bud or the seed to develop with.
Well, like we mentioned there at the beginning, James chapter 1 and verse 5, if you ask, God is going to give it to you. Does that mean that any old person can't open up Proverbs and get some benefit in it? Well, yeah, they can get benefit from it. But when we're asking God for wisdom, and then we follow up on what we're asking for, and we open the Bible and we read these Proverbs, and we stop and we read one proverb and we mull it over in our head and we think about, well, now what does that really mean? And what does that mean to me? I think you're right, Brother Bedingfield. I think that's God's means for us to gain wisdom. Is by if we ask Him and we have an open mind, when we read these things and we think about them hard enough, we're going to understand and we're going to become wiser. Any other thoughts or comments? I think it's you, Brother Bowen.
Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. "See that you walk perfect sanctly, not as fools, but as wise, and leave the things of the day of evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is."
That's right. There's a responsibility for Christians to be wise. You have. Very good. Very good point. What were the Christians in Hebrews chapter 5? What were they condemned for or chastised for? They said you should be teachers, but you still need the milk. You don't know what you need to know. Definitely an application for us to be that way. And I have a few passages we won't take time to read for time's sake. And In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, familiar passages, but Timothy is encouraged by Paul to study the word that he's known from his youth, to meditate on it, and to grow in it, and to know more. So, I like Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. It's not always easy to get the lessons even out of a man that's wise, and maybe that's intentional on his part. The fool goes there with his bucket, and he lowers his bucket, and he always comes up empty. But the man who wants understanding, he's going to go down deep enough, he's going to spend enough time there that he can get that wisdom and that wise counsel out of the heart of that man. But wisdom is precious, and we need to realize that. I think is what we'll do for time's sake. We'll begin on instruction and reproof, but we'll probably take the time to finish this on Sunday. There's quite a bit more we can talk about. I didn't know how the time would work out with this, how quickly it would go. But I think we'll start on wisdom, instruction, and reproof, and then we'll plan on continuing that on Sunday, and then we'll postpone that handout until the next time that I'm here to teach. Somebody tell me, what relationship does instruction and reproof have to wisdom? That's right. Well, like Mr. Bedingfield said, when a child is born, he doesn't have much wisdom, does he? And so we lay instructions down for him as he becomes able, and he always follows those instructions 100% of the time, doesn't he? I can tell you from experience that is not the case. So reproof is necessary. And actually the idea behind instruction in the book of Proverbs, the word has a very close association to that of correction or discipline. I think Rick mentioned discipline in his introductory lesson. So they're closely related to chastisement and correction, and they play a very important role in gaining wisdom. That's an effective means by which we gain wisdom. We learn from our mistakes, and we learn from people correcting us from those mistakes. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 5 says, "Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And Proverbs chapter 28 verse 23, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with his tongue." What do those passages mean? There's a definite benefit to receiving a rebuke, isn't it? Who's your real friend? Your real friend, particularly in a spiritual matter, your friend that tells you that everything's okay? The one that tries to correct you. That's right. The one that tries to correct you. Peter comes to mind with Jesus a half a dozen times. You know, Peter was rebuked by Jesus. Peter was rebuked by Paul as well. He says when Paul got there, he withstood him to his face in front of everybody because he was to be blamed for showing partiality. I think of Simon in Acts chapter 8. Simon was a new Christian. But yet when he asked for that power of the laying on of hands there, Peter rebuked him and did so quickly. And the result was a very positive result. He accepted that rebuke and was made better for it. Let's try and cover one more quick point here under wisdom instruction or under receiving instruction and correction. I would like to read through these. I'd like to read through these passages. I've got about a dozen passages here I'd like to read through. And then I want somebody to tell me the things that they notice about the wise man and the thing that they notice about the fool. And then that will probably be all the time that we'll have for tonight, and we'll continue on Sunday. Proverbs 22:17 says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you will keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that you may trust in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you of excellent things, of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer the words of truth to those who send to you?" Proverbs 15:31, "The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the word of knowledge. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating or babbling fool will fall. Proverbs 10:13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 19:27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. What is the wise man doing in these parables, or in these proverbs? He's listening. What is the fool doing in several of these proverbs? He's not only not listening, he's talking. He's busy talking. And that's something that, you know, your mom tells you years ago, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. But when it comes to accepting instruction and accepting rebuke, you need to make sure that you're listening. The fool is always out there just babbling on. The one verse there, Proverbs 10:8, it says, the prating fool will fall. He's just there babbling on. And I've noticed from personal experience, when Jacob is busy talking and saying something, if I don't have his undivided attention, he doesn't hear a word that I say. And that's the same way with us. If we're busy talking about what we want to talk about and not listening, we're not that instruction, that correction isn't going to do us any good. Let's look at a final example of this, and then we'll close for the night. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 17, this is David fleeing from Saul. When he's running around, he's got a group of men with him now, and they've been hanging out with the shepherds and the herders of a man named Nabal, a wealthy man named Nabal. Again, this is 1 Samuel chapter 25, 17. And Nabal is having a festival or a feast for his herders, and he's preparing that feast and preparing that food. David sends young men there and says, you know, we've been there with your shepherds. We've behaved ourselves wisely. No loss has come to your shepherds while we're there. We find out from the shepherds later that they describe David and his men as a wall between them and those that would harm them. They've treated them well. But in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 25, what happens is Nabal says, who is this David? And who are his men? And why should I care? I mean, lots of people run away from their masters, don't they? And so David is ready to come and wipe them out. And this is what's said of Nabal in verse 17 of 25. Now therefore know, a servant of Nabal's is speaking to Abigail, his wife. Know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. And that's the same way with fools sometimes. They're busy talking and bad-mouthing people, that they're not listening at all. I thank you for your attention.